Going to be teaching, of course, you know, for every time we take a teaching again that we've taught before, it's so that we can progress in our faith. Amen. So I'll take you a step further in Holy Ghost meetings. So you ready this morning? All right. So there are different kinds of meetings in the local church. And sometimes we can get stereotyped to think that a meeting must go a particular way. So we get stereotyped. You expect that this direction is going to go. These are which works, you know. And as much as that is good consistency wise, it may also be that you are in the dark about something. Because there are different flows of the Spirit of God. So it's good consistency wise that, you know, oh, this is what I expect to see. This is what I expect to happen. But sometimes things don't work like that. There are times that you don't know that you don't know. Amen. I know that happens to you before. You don't know, yeah, you don't know. You know, you think you know, but in the real sense of it, there's a blind spot. You know what they call blind spot? Is it blind spot now? You know, as you're looking at me now, there's a part that your eyes cannot see. There's a field of vision that's away from your eyes. You can, for example, you can't see your back. If you can see your back, then something is wrong. Amen. I can see you. If you are the one at the, you are a zombie or an alien. Amen. So, there are things that are away from your field of vision. It doesn't mean that they don't exist. It means you cannot see it. But if you don't get stereotyped enough, and you are open, you are going to experience more things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, last time I was talking to someone about, he was talking to me about longer prayers, and he was saying, that God is not deaf now. That God is not deaf now. That how you just be praying. That whatever God you're asking for God, that it feels like longer prayers are a result of you not knowing who you are in Christ. That God is not deaf. That if we know who we are, the authority we carry as sons of God, that we pray short because we know that He has heard. And I said, You are a comedian. You should be competing for their awards. Because you are talking stereotypically. You're talking like someone who cannot see beyond his two eyes. There is not, I told you on Thursday, there is nothing you do long enough that does not tell in your life. And because he felt like when you pray, you are always asking for something. So you felt, there's nothing you're asking God for that is that long. And I told him, I said, no, not every time when you pray, you're asking for something. There are times that you are not asking for anything. 90% of when I pray, I don't have a prayer point. How about that? I mean, 90, probably 95, I don't have points. I just pray. I just open my mouth, bah, and start praying. And so, I'm not asking for anything. I'm just praying. I'm just having fellowship. So I told him, I said, your issue now is that you don't know. And worse still, you don't know that you don't know. Amen. You don't know that what you don't know is more than what you know. So we must not get stereotyped or stereotypical. We must allow God to move and to show us better times. Hallelujah. For example, this morning, you probably were expecting that I'll just call Matthew 1:1. That's stereotypical. It's not only Matthew. It's Jacob. What are you looking for? No, there are meetings that you must admit that it's not a teaching meeting. Amen. So, expecting Matthew 1:1 from me, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Stereotypes. Oh, after Matthew 1:1, he talks about the Old Testament. After the Old Testament, he goes to this, I will find a way, he will find a way of connecting to the things of the Spirit, and then from there we move. No! Hallelujah. You must allow the Holy Ghost to reign. Amen. So you don't get too stereotyped. You don't get too acquainted with a particular way. You must realize that there are different kinds of meetings that serve their different purposes. Are you with me this morning? Come on, are you with me this morning? So, there are different kinds of meetings in the local church. You know, Bro Reagan taught this in his book, Purpose and Pursuits. And he said that there are different kinds of meetings in the local church. And they all serve their different purposes. For example, we have a teaching meeting, which we have every week, you know, at least 3 times a week. Right? You go in your cell meetings, you go in your midweek service, right? And then you, on Sunday, so at least 3 times a week, we have teaching meetings where we just come to teach God's word, to better our knowledge and our understanding of the things of God. As a teaching meeting, you discover Jesus had teaching meetings. In Matthew 4, verse 23 to 24, he was teaching. Matthew 5, where we have the Beatitudes. From Matthew 5, verse 2 to Matthew 7, about verse 28, Jesus was teaching. Then in Matthew 7, 28, you already know that one. They were astonished at his teaching. So, you can have teaching meetings. So Jesus taught from Matthew 5, 2 to Matthew 7, 28. In Acts, in Matthew 9, he taught. In Acts 1, he taught them for 40 days. You know, if you have a teaching this day and say, you're going to teach people for 40 days, everybody will start calling you out on Facebook. What kind of church is that one? You know, I announced last week that we're going to start using board, and the way some people looked at me, itself, he said, how can you bring board to the church? Because you were too stereotypical. In your head, there's no room for the board in the church. There's no room. Why are we writing on the board? Is this a school? Who told you that we cannot use board? Now, I've not seen it before. It came to my head, and I weighed it, and I felt it's not bad. Amen. Except you didn't give me the advantage of the board. Because whatever I call, I'm going to write. I don't understand. That board only. Hallelujah. Because, why are you stereotyped? Being stereotypical puts you in the dark. That means there are things that God, and you see where I'm coming from this morning. I'm not saying you should not be consistent with what you know. I'm not saying what you've learned is not what you should stay with and trying to be curious about things. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, always know that there's always room for more. So we have teaching meetings. Acts 1, Jesus taught them. In fact, the book of Acts is basically teaching meetings and prayer meetings. So those are like two meetings that the church must always have. So, teaching, that's the first kind of meeting. Paul taught people, he taught to the extent that someone fell from the window. That's something. How about that? So it's not today that people started sleeping. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I remember there was a time I was teaching. Someone came to me and said, did you observe that there were like 4 people that were sleeping during your teaching? Are you sure that's not the Holy Ghost leaving you and people not accepting your ministry? And I laughed. Paul taught and people slept. Who am I? In fact, I'm surprised it's just 4. Amen. You should be having close to 20. Hallelujah. Because it's Okado. Not even Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Okado. Where you have seen Shege? You know, Shege is different from Shege Banza. You know, you have seen Shege, you have seen Shege Pro Max. You know, you should be sleeping. Hallelujah. So we have teaching meetings. The next meeting is we have prayer meetings. Obviously, The teaching of God's word should inspire you to pray. If you don't pray when you hear teachings, it's one of two things. It's either you did not hear, hallelujah, or the preacher did not teach God's word. God's word should inspire prayer. So we have prayer meetings. So, the teaching of God's word should produce a vibrant prayer life. Look at Acts 1. After Acts 1, that Jesus taught them, of course, some days after, they were praying. So, what did the 40 days teaching do? It inspired them to pray. Amen. It inspired them to pray. So we have prayer meetings. If you're in this church, you should know about prayer group. You don't know about prayer group? I don't know what I should say this morning. So we have prayer group, we have prayer chain. Prayer chain is not a meeting. But prayer group is a meeting. Amen. When it comes to prayer group, you know, you don't sit down. Or you guys sit down in your prayer group. Eh? You just sit around the chair. Let's just bow. Let's just bow our heads. No. Amen. When you come to a prayer group, you don't sit down. You pray. Hallelujah. And you know you don't sing. That's why we go for prayer meetings. We're going for prayer meeting. There was a time someone invited me for a conversion. I didn't go. But I agree. And I said, okay, what exactly is the convention about? He could not tell me the purpose of the meeting. What are we going to be doing? He said, convention now. I said, what's convention now? What is the purpose of this meeting? He said, we come together, sing, turn now, like, I said, what kind of meeting is a convention? I said, what's convention? He said, like, people meet and they convent. You ring your wilele. I will go all the way to Balagiri, not knowing the purpose of the meeting. I said, I'll get back to you. Amen. You know, get back to you. This is Nigeria. It's only Nigeria when they say get back to you. Just be going on. We went to look for work. You just say, we'll get back to you. Just say, Ghana, what did I do? What can I change? I remember there's a joke. He said, I'll get back to you. The event now brought out on. He said, swear. So we have prayer meetings. When you go to prayer meetings, you don't start by singing. Some people go for prayer meetings. They say they are going to pray. We are praying with friends. We are praying with whatever. Amen. Where's that one that I used to go for? I don't mention the brand. It goes a brand. So you know, you go for and then you are singing. Is that what you went to do? And people are rolling on the floor. Pray. Amen. So that's it. It's a meeting on its own. It's a prayer meeting. Then the prayer meeting and the teaching meeting oftentimes produces what we call evangelistic meetings. That's what we call it. But I have a different perspective to evangelism. So I'll just call it outreaches, yeah, where we reach out to those who are unsaved. Where we reach out to those who are unsaved. Oftentimes that kind of meeting happens outside the local church because that's where you have your audience. So, I mentioned three now. A teaching meeting, where we teach God's word. A prayer meeting, right? Where we come solely to do what? Come out to do what? In that prayer meeting, do we mix things up? We pray. Jesus taught disciples to pray. Matthew 17, he took them aside to pray. So, in the prayer meeting, you don't spend all day singing. You came to pray. Then, we say we have evangelistic meetings. Because teaching should inspire you to ministry. You don't forget, every believer has the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. Every believer has the ministry of reconciliation. So, the teaching of God's word is to birth in you a preacher. Don't forget Ephesians 4. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for what? For the work of ministry. So, the reason for teaching is for the work of ministry. The reason for teaching is not to produce billionaires. That's good. You know, if you have many billionaires in this church, you know, I'll be happy. Amen. So don't, you know, some people think, don't just think, someone was saying that before he knew me very well, that he felt like I hate family, and I don't like love life, and I don't like, what's that one saying again? I don't like money. I don't like, people being rich or something. I just want people to be average. Not poor, not rich. I want people to be average. I don't want people to marry. I said, what kind of teaching is that? What kind of thinking is that? What did I say that made you think like this? That's basically devil now. Forbidding men to marry. That's doctrines of men. Amen. How can I stop you from... I can't stop you. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't stop you from that. I can't, if you have money, it's to my benefit now. Will you not take care of your pastor? Come on, say it. Will you not? Some people not see. Say, man, I don't want to commit to what I will not do. I will not commit to what I will not do. You not force me. Will you not take care of your pastor? Oh, so you didn't plan to have money. Because the way you not say, you think so highly of me. You know, so basically I can't be against you having money. But the work of preaching, the duty of a pastor, reaches success when you are in ministry. Even if all our members are governors and presidents and everything, and we don't have preachers, the pastor has failed. He has not raised anything. His works will burn like straw. So, teaching meeting, so after Acts 1 and Acts 2, then you discover that Peter stood up with the 11. And he started teaching. He started talking to the unsaved. So, we have the third kind of meeting, which is our outreaches. Then the fourth kind of meeting, we have the healing meetings. Where, basically what we have come to do, is to lay hands on those who are sick, and they'll recover. There are healing meetings. We have come to heal the sick. In Luke 5 verse 17, you discover that Jesus was in a meeting like that. The Bible says, and as he taught, the power of God was present to heal the sick. Luke 5 verse 17. So you have, that's a healing meeting. James explained that. He said, if anybody is sick, if anyone among you is sick, he said, let him go to the elders and let them lay hands on him, anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. So we have meetings like that where we come to pray for those who are not feeling too well. Hallelujah. And I believe God this morning that if you have something in your body and you're not feeling too well, in the name of Jesus, you live here better. Amen. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will live yet sound.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So we have meetings like that. The fifth kind of meeting, you know, we can have a minister's meeting. Where we have a secluded audience. It's not for everybody. We just have maybe like a leader's meeting or like a worker's meeting. Meetings where it's not for everyone, it's for a particular audience. So it's not just leaders, it can be workers. Or ministers, you know, pastor's meeting. Some years ago, I used to attend Believers Love World. They have ICPC. ICPC is International Cell Leaders Conference. Then there's IPPC, International Pastors and Partners Conference. And I used to make it there. I wasn't a pastor there. I wasn't the cell leader. I wasn't a cell leader there. But there was the way we used to get it, pass. So you enter with a pass. It's quite much. About 3,000 to 4,000 people. You know, and it's global. So people are coming from everywhere around the world. But there's a place I used to get my own, pass. And then we just make it in. You show the cell leader like this. You know, we just wanted to hear God's word. Hallelujah. We just show the cell leader like this. And they say, oh, welcome, sir. God, I'm not a cell leader. But I was blessed. Hallelujah. You know, it just shows you the extent of hunger. Where you are going to a cell leader meeting of another church. Hallelujah. You know, I always get through a pastor there, so. It's not his, it's on the pastor. It's not on me. I'm just a hungry believer. So we have meetings like that. Ministers meeting. Secluded audience. You observe that Jesus had the 500. Paul spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He said when Jesus arose, he spoke to the 500. He spoke to the 500. You see that in 1 Corinthians 15. Then, you know, we had the 120, the ones who were present on the day of Pentecost. So, you see that the audience have dropped. Right? The numbers have dropped. Then we had the 70. Remember, he sent out the 70 on evangelism in the four gospels. So, from 500, 120. So, there were things he told the 500. But there are things he told the 120 or the 70 that did not tell the 500. There were things that were meant for everybody. There were things that were not meant for everybody. Apart from the 70, he had the 12. Some believers can still not mention the 12 disciples. They say, Pastor, please don't call. I'll call someone. Say, ah, God, I trust you. I'm not stereotyped. I trust you to lead him away from me. He had the 12. There were things he taught the 12 that the 70 never heard. There were times he told the 12, don't tell any man. Don't tell any man. Then apart from the 12, he had the 3. Right? James, John, and Peter. James, Peter, and John. In Matthew 17, for example, when on that morning of transfiguration, it was just those 3. So there were meetings that he didn't call Andrew. And Andrew would not feel offended because he knows that there are different kinds of meetings. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? Alright. So, James, Peter, and John. And then, don't forget, even in that Matthew 17, after the experience of Elijah and Moses and everything, what did he tell them? Don't tell anybody. So, meetings with, and after the 3, there are meetings that is just Peter. Hallelujah. Just Peter. So, we have ministers meeting, leaders meeting as such. In Acts 1, after he taught them for 40 days, he told them, don't tell anybody. Imagine you are privileged to be in a meeting. You know, these days and age, we have a lot of believers. You are privileged to be in a meeting. That is for a secluded audience. And you go to announce, go and put it on Facebook. Hallelujah. In fact, someone was accusing me one time. You are listening to a workers' meeting. Was it workers' meeting or something? Maybe workers' meeting or ministers' retreat. One teaching like that. So, I gave an instruction, peculiarly for us. I can't remember what year. And the person was saying, and I said, you are nosy. That's what I told him. I said, you're nosy. How's he talking to you? Amen. How's he talking to you? You're not part of our workers. You're not. Why? I want to know. Give me an instance. I really want to know. What do you mean by this? I said, was I talking to you? I'm not one of the people you can bully with the media. I don't have fans. Amen. I don't want to ever have. I will never have. I don't want to be a public figure on the internet. I don't want it. It will never happen. So you cannot be bullying me with, I will stop listening to your website. Stop now. Did you tell me when you started? Hallelujah. We have hundreds of them. It's after 2 years. You know, you have been listening. We were talking about one last week, yeah? Damola.
You know, you have been listening. Oh, nice. You didn't tell me. So when you want to talk, I want to stop. Someone told me I won't follow your Facebook page. I said, I don't even know how many followers we have. You unfollow. Ah. Unfollow Facebook. Unfollow the Holy Spirit. Unfollow everybody. Who do you think you are? Because the meeting was for a specific audience. Imagine Jesus telling his disciples, I'm risen from death. Don't tell anybody yet. And then someone goes to his friend. Guy. Now we will. This thing where I won't tell you. Now we will. You know Jesus now. I don't say, ah, Jesus, that guy is dead now. Ah, what the Romans just say. You don't know it. Well, there are some things that we privileged people can tell you. It's actually reason. I give you for free. Take it to the bank. That was it. Say, no, it cannot be, sir. It already is. I can give his address. Some for someone that they say, don't tell any man. Hallelujah. So they are meeting that for in this generation. There was Facebook. Or Instagram or Twitter. Or Twitter especially. But I like it, sir. Someone wrote something that someone wrote a post. Then someone had commented. He has I just lost a few brain cells reading this your post, meaning that the post doesn't make sense. He now commented back and I said, oh, sorry. Knowing that you have few before. how do you guys just live on this place? Amen. So you have meetings that was a specific audience. And that needs to be treated discreetly. Then lastly, you have Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. Say with me, Holy Ghost meetings. Ah, that's like two people talking. Say Holy Ghost meetings. What are Holy Ghost meetings? Holy Ghost meetings. Let me give you Bro Higgins' definition. They are meetings where believers gather. This definition has been my head for years. Where believers gather, the word of God is taught, and the Holy Ghost is giving room for expression. The believers are edified, and everyone leaves via the gates of rejoicing. I'll say it again. It's a meeting where believers gather, and the word of God is taught, the Holy Ghost giving expression, believers are edified, and everyone leaves via the doors of rejoicing. If you have been in the church for a while, Glorious House Church, you probably know what Holy Ghost meetings are. And we'll be on it for a while. At least 2-3 weeks, 4. So you already know what Holy Ghost meetings are. But there are times where, like I started, you can get so stereotyped. You know how it goes. You know, this is the way it goes now. Then we'll gather. We'll come in 3-3 or 4-4, and then we'll talk and everything, and then service comes to an end. That's the way it goes. You know, you have it all figured out. So Paul comes in 1 Corinthians 12. And I want you to listen very, very well this morning. This is going to help you flow in the things of the Spirit. So it's possible that we get stereotyped to how a Holy Ghost meeting must be, you know. Oh, this is how it goes. And that itself is a level of ignorance. The moment I hear that, oh, it's an Holy Ghost meeting, and then my mind just goes, this is what we do, and this is what we do, and this is what we do. Then I'm no longer in a Holy Ghost meeting. I'm no longer in a Holy Ghost meeting. I'm now in my meeting. That means I have figured out what I'm going to do. I figured out what is going to happen. Then you are not giving the Holy Ghost expression. Come on, are you with me this morning? Holy Ghost written means you are going to give the Holy Ghost the expression. First Corinthians 12, verse 1. Paul tells the church in Corinth, now concerning spiritual gifts, or spirituals, let's put it like that. I will not have you ignorant. Now concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. That is, concerning the things in and around the Spirit. The things in, of, and around the Spirit. I will not have you ignorant. The word ignorant there is the word agnoio in the Greek. A-G-N-O-E-O. We are going somewhere this morning. A-G-N-O-E-O. I will not have you ignorant. Which means, it's actually deliberate ignorance. That is, when you willfully stay there, you don't want to know. Now, you can look at that in two ways. Right? You can look at it in two ways and say, ignorance will mean, I don't know about tongues. Right? I don't know about tongues at all. So, you call me ignorant. The funny thing is that these guys were already speaking in tongues. So I was making a joke with one of my friends. I said, so if Paul now meets people that argue about tongues, when there are people that argue about tongues this day, so what will he call them? When he calls these ones ignorant, people that are already speaking in tongues and interpreting their tongues and working miracles, he called them ignorant. So when he now meets you that you are still arguing tongues is for this day or is for the past, he's going to call you stupid. I'll not have you stupid. Some of that. So, is what deliberate ignorance. Now, I gave you an example of ignorance. I don't know about tongues. Now, another ignorance is, I know about tongues, listen very well, but I am stereotyped. Oh, everything I know about the Spirit or the things of the Spirit, this is how I know it too. You know, there are people like that. This is how I know it too. I don't know more than this, oh. I will not have you ignorant. Deliberate ignorance. Sometimes, it means we are boxing it up. Now, like I said, these guys were already walking in the things of the Spirit. These guys were already walking in the things of the Spirit. So what are they ignorant of? That's the question. I've taught you before, of course, they were ignorant about the administration of it. How that it works by love. But much more. Don't forget in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7. Are you with me this morning? Am I a bit fast? Eh? I didn't want us to have enough time. Alright. I'm always very fast in Holy Ghost meetings, but I don't know why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7. He already said, that, look, you be turning there, as me as I'm just preaching this one, I'm not teaching. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, he said, this church came behind in no gifts. They came behind in no gifts. Let me explain what that means. What that means is that there was no gift of the Spirit that everybody in that church cannot express. That means everybody was speaking in tongues. Everybody could interpret their tongues. Everybody could prophesy. Everybody could have a word of knowledge. Everybody could have a word of wisdom. Everybody could discern by the Spirit. Everybody could work miracles, could heal the sick, and walk in the gift of faith. I've explained all these nine gifts before. So imagine you have a church like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do we have that this morning? Come on, we have that this morning? So everybody here can walk and function in the Spirit. That's me. Hallelujah. I'm not a spectator. So we can have a church where everybody can walk in the things of the Spirit. It's not strange. You are doing your own. Yeah. It's not strange. Hallelujah. Because we have the Spirit of God. Then the things of the Spirit are ours. Freely. Say they are mine. The things of the Spirit are my things. They are my things. Yeah, it's my things. You know, when I walk in the Spirit, I'm showing my true color. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, he told them, he already said, they came behind in no gifts. Then he says, I will not have ignorance. Meaning that it's possible that you box it up. You know, how many of us know that? There were things that were activities of the Spirit. Listen very well. That you are walking on, you are walking in them before you even knew about them. Let me see your hands. You were already doing it. Then you are taught later, maybe years later, maybe in various house church. For example, I was singing in the Spirit way long before I knew about singing in the Spirit. I mean, at least 5 years. Before I knew about, oh, this is what it means to sing in the Spirit. This is what it does. This is how we... I don't know what I'm talking about. Come on. In fact, there was a time I told my friend. I think it was Barnabas. And I told him, technical kid was still downstairs. One room like that. So they invited that evangelist, E.O. Falade. That man, I don't like him very well. Every time he comes, just like, and we'll be falling and all that. I cannot fall. You know, but again, there's this stereotypical mind that anybody that falls is probably has an evil spirit. Again, you have boxed it up. Don't box it up. Amen. So, while discussing inside, so the man started singing in the Spirit. I cannot forget. And whoever asked me this question, you guys talk a lot, so you ask him. He asked me this question that year and said, what makes people sing in the Spirit? And I said, my answer was, when they grow spiritually to a level. That's not everybody. Now don't try it. We'll try, we'll cool down in here. So I told him, I don't know whether he's the one or DJ, but very likely it goes in. So I said, you get to that level. The level. Then you start singing. That your speaking will just come to singing. And you don't just be able to speak again. Like once you start speaking, like 2 minutes like this, you just start singing. So that was my... So, probably because I was a bit more advanced in the things of the Spirit than probably every other person my age, I started singing in the Spirit. So I felt, oh, that is because what have I done that was thinking that I've achieved, I've arrived. Even now, I've not arrived. You know, so... I started singing in the Spirit. And I was thinking that I was singing in the Spirit because I was now, you understand? At 16, I've been 15. So I think I was singing in the Spirit because I've attained. Even Paul said I've not attained. Yeah, I said I've attained, child. But it shows you that, listen very well, sometimes the Holy Ghost can go ahead of you. And your mind has to catch up later. So sometimes we can have experiences that our mind has not caught up with. It does not make those experiences wrong. It only means your mind has not caught up with it. Hallelujah. The first time I saw some people rejoicing and laughing in the Holy Ghost. You know, I knew that this was the Spirit of God. Straight away. You know, I was in that meeting and then they were all rejoicing. Glory! Was at Akpata. In Ibadan. And, you know Akpata? Okay. So, I was in that meeting. I was looking at everybody. Now, I knew that it was of God. But my mind, but my spirit, I knew this is God. There's no way these guys are walking in the flesh. I just knew immediately. So I didn't argue it. I didn't And then they taught it. But my mind could not catch up. I could not say, this is the reason why they are doing it. You know, I saw people leaping and jumping and, you know, someone was even rolling on the floor. Say, are you sure? This is not demon. This one, this particular one. About, I know everybody is God. This one. And then it would spring up again and would shout. And someone was even banging the wall. Glory! I say, ah. But my mind has not caught up with it. I saw them rejoicing. Eventually I rejoiced myself. You know the way you start rejoicing, huh? I know some of you have seen it, some of you. Like Mario. You know, I did I want to jump a duck. That was Agalio. Agala. That was Agalio. Glory. What was that? Glory. That was the first time you like. Agalio. You stop that. You know. But I saw them rejoice. I joined, of course, with my Agala. But my mind had not caught up with it. I saw them laugh. And they were going, woo! Ah, glory! Woo! I said, hey, how long about? Now, demon be this. You know, and before I knew it, I was already laughing too. I started laughing because I was laughing at them. Sincerely. Well, you know, the Holy Ghost goes ahead of you. Hallelujah. So, as I was laughing, I said, see this one. So I started laughing. And before you know it, I was the last person to stop. I could not actually stop. I was holding my tongue. And it went on for hours, like about 1.5 hours, laughing. The energy was gone. You know, have you laughed for 1.5 hours? You know what it means to laugh for 1.5 hours? And we were laughing. My entire tongue was paining me. All my abdominal muscles were... You know, and if you ask me, why are we laughing? My mind had nothing to do with it. I had not caught up with it. Now I can explain to you, laughing, rejoicing in the spirit, I can explain to you from Genesis to Revelation. But then, I'm talking about way over a decade ago. You know, I could not say, this is why we are doing what we're doing. So, you must realize, listen very well, that sometimes you can have experiences that your mind has not yet comprehended. Sometimes you can have experience that your mind does not understand yet. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me this morning? So, you might tend to understand later. But if we now fail to yield ourselves to what the Holy Ghost is doing, do you know that we will not have those experiences? If we say, oh, I must understand first before I will experience it, then we will be boxing up the Spirit of God. So imagine that year, as they were rejoicing and laughing in the Spirit. And I just stayed there and I say, I don't understand you. I mean, at the same time when they were getting us filled with the Holy Ghost. And everybody was getting filled about. Maybe because they were children of pastors. And they are probably their fathers and they speak in tongues at home. My dad doesn't speak in tongues at home. So, I mean, he probably did not grow up, so I don't know. I've not heard him speak in tongues at home before. So, telling me that me, I can speak in tongues. But it's easier for children of pastors that your mom starts the morning devotion with. To tongue will not be hard for you. Amen. But for me, you ain't got a prayer. Baba, why you? I do pray. I go, I do pray. I know. All kind of prayer. It's going to be hard to speak in tongues. So imagine if I have to understand
before I say I'm going to experience it, then my experiences with the God kind will be delayed. That means there will be things that God will want to show me now that I will not see till 10 years or till 5 years because I boxed him up. So Paul says, now concerning the things of the Spirit, don't box it up. Don't be ignorant. Don't think that because you don't know about it, it cannot happen to you. This morning I am open to what the Holy Ghost is doing. The things I've never experienced before, they will be my experiences this morning. I don't box it up. I don't box him up. I don't box him up. I am open. Thank you, Jesus. So, imagine I have to understand first. So, if we fail to yield ourselves to what the Holy Ghost is doing, then we won't have more room for Spirit-led activities. Sometimes we feel that whatever we don't know is wrong. Sometimes. You know, I recall the first time, as a younger kid, I used to watch Pastor Chris Oyakhilome a lot on TV. A lot. And I had tapes. A lot of tapes. I used to hide so that, because my mom was not see him like that. Because, you know, he had Jerry Coyle and all of that. So I used to hide his tapes. Well, so I used to see him do, you know, and then he can take someone like this and then just blow. You know, if you know Pastor Chris very well and you've watched videos, I'm not saying you go to the church, you say, I want to see it. So it will just leave the chain and then and people will fall. And I said, as much as I was listening to the teaching, I said, They have started it. And then, Then one day I was ministering. I mean, as a teenager. So I did the same thing. So I lifted up the person's chin. And he fell. So after the meeting, I went to ask him, I said, did you fall because I... And I said, tell me the truth, please. Tell me the truth. Why did you fall? Did you fall because... He said, no. I didn't even know when I fell and I was on the floor. I said, say God. She said, Yinka. I said, say the truth. Yinka, say the truth. I'm serious. I said, no. That, the last thing I remember was that you just lifted up my chair. And so, after that meeting, I was bold to repeat that over and over again. Hallelujah. So, it now became like a signature of our minister to this. I don't do it again. I don't like. Haha, you need to see it. Hallelujah. But, you know, before I started doing it, I felt it was, that I don't know about it. Because the conventional way I know that, if I in his grace, they even lay hands like that. Not really. It's just I grew up in. No, they just pray for you. I'll probably touch your hand, hold your hand, and pray with you. So, I was used to people holding hands. And then someone comes, and then he's doing like this. And you're falling. But we must not box up the Holy Ghost. So I don't box up the Spirit of God. My heart is open for wild experiences. This morning, I will say the things that are inspired by the Spirit of God. I will move multidimensionally. I won't box him up. I won't box him up. My heart is open for new experiences. Thank you, Jesus. So, I will not have ignorance. Don't box it up. I know you have been walking in it. That's what Paul is telling the church in Corinth. I know you have been walking in it. I know you have been doing this, but I don't want you to be ignorant that there is more. So in verse 4, he now tells them there are diversities of gifts, but one Spirit. Same Spirit.
There are differences in what? Administrations. But what? The same Lord. There are differences of what? Operations. But the same God that worketh all. What is he telling you? That this gift can come in any way. It can be administered in many streams. So don't think, oh, this is the way it's going to work. Oh, when I come for Holy Ghost meeting, I know this is the way it's going to work. This is the way it's going to happen. No! No! It's a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen! You cannot box it up. You might say this is how God wants to do it, and then it goes this way. Don't be ignorant of the administration of the gifts. Learn something this morning? So sometimes we think, oh, we must know first. But that hinders a lot. It puts us in the dark. The first time I had revelation knowledge, in fact, at 14, 15, I have, it's amazing how it all happened. I will know things supernaturally about people. Supernaturally, if you know, right? If you grew up with me. Supernaturally, I just say, you are here, you are doing this. And I used to misuse it a lot. I think I've said the story before, and until someone cautioned me, a more elderly minister, and said, no, when you know things about people like this, sometimes for you to pray for them. Sometimes it's for you to counsel them or go and meet with, you know the way all these church mommies says, go and meet with people who are more advanced than in the faith and tell them so that they can counsel you together. And so it took someone to curtail it. I used to know things very well. I still do. Very well. Just that this time around is way, way, way more controlled in the sense that I will not come to service and say, Row 4. I used to say row 4, seat 2. So, yeah, row 4, like everybody in row 4. Where's row 4? 1, 2, 3, 4. You just say seat 2. That's divine. That's where you're going to this bill. Row 6, seat 6. Yesterday you were at, and people now be shaking. Got to a point, nobody came for the meetings again. I asked someone, said, so that you can call my name. I will not call you. Even if I see it, I will not call you. I used to just call anything anyhow. But that was way, way before I knew about the word of knowledge. The funny thing is, I did not know that it's called the word of knowledge. I just know that I know someone that is, I'm seeing the person like this. And I know supernaturally what's happening to you. Amen. But I didn't know that it's called word of knowledge. Let's talk about explanation from the Old Testament to the New, to how Jesus taught it, how Paul taught it, how Peter taught it. I don't know Peter, I don't know. I shall know that you, yesterday, you stole. I need to be petty things. like you slapped someone yesterday. And you are not remorseful about it. And I'm looking at you like, God said I should tell you. You just born. You just born. I don't want to born. You're already born. You that you are close. Go and repent. Tell everybody. Go and meet the person. Apologize. Now, probably I know what God wants me to say. That you were born. Probably I was just meant to teach the person walking in love. But I myself don't understand walking in love. Amen. I don't know what in love. That time said, I did beef people. You offend me, I beef you. There's no time. I was not a vegetarian. No. Beef. You do something for me like this, I will not talk to you again. Because I kept having the word of knowledge. So, sometimes the Holy Ghost can go years ahead of you. But that doesn't mean you should stop yourself from experiencing it now. Hallelujah. You know something? Same with trance. The first time I had a trance, I didn't know it was a trance. I thought I fainted. That's a trance. Hallelujah. So we must not get familiar with the things of the Spirit. Familiarity is a bad place. We must not get familiar and think, oh, this is how it all turns out. This is how it's going to be. I know what I will say. I just say, you will do well to, you want to make a decision. I just know how it will end. No! You must be open. Hallelujah. You must be open. You must always be yielding. Some years ago, myself and my friends were reading Ken Young. E.W. Ken Young, one of his books. And while we were reviewing it, I told them, I said, we are much older then. This is about 5 years ago. 5-6 years ago. So I told them, I said, I believe, and I've heard this from two other ministers that I respect a lot. I said 6 years ago, I said, I believe that the church is at its infancy when it comes to the things of the Spirit. And I say that with all conviction. That the church, when it comes to the practice of the things of the Spirit, we've not done 2%. There is more. Hallelujah. There is more. We've not done 2. So, if you think that, oh, this is the height, this is all there is. No, you must open your heart to more. There are diversities of operations. So, we must be open to more depths or to depths. Sometimes we think, oh, we know the direction God will go. The way everything will flow. But no. Now concerning the things of the Spirit, don't be ignorant. I also have enough time to practice this morning. Don't be ignorant. So, I expect the Holy Ghost to move. And to move in diverse ways. So, that's my attitude to an Holy Ghost meeting. I'm coming in and I'm saying, you know what? I expect the Holy Ghost to move in diverse ways. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's a word of knowledge I want to give. I don't know if it's prophecy. I don't know if it's a tongue. I don't know if it's an interpretation. But you know what I know? The Holy Ghost is going to move in diverse ways. Through me. I'm not going to box him up. Sometimes we just have a way of just doing it, you know. And then you speak in tongues a bit, then you wait for interpretation, and then you say it. And that's all to you. I mean, that's everything you've ever done in a Holy Ghost meeting. You speak in tongues, and you interpret, and that's all. But you know you can see visions. How about that? You know you can see. Pastor, I have not seen it before. That's the point. Everybody who had not seen it before had to see it once. Amen. And you know, the folks in the Old Testament saw visions. And it wasn't special. The same people that Paul was rebuking in 1 Corinthians 10, our father that perished in the wilderness, those guys saw visions. And it wasn't special to them. They say, hey, you saw, what did you see? You know, people saw Jesus being baptized, and they heard voices. They heard. This is my beloved son, whom I will be. They heard. Okay, how about Ananias? Ananias, Jesus appeared to Saul, Paul of Tarsus, in Acts 9, right? On his road to Damascus. And then a bright light shone on him. And then, he was blind. Scales on his eyes. And then Jesus went to Ananias and said, I'm sending someone your way now. Ananias doesn't say, yeah, Jesus. Imagine this age. Some people just, hey, Jesus, I just saw Jesus. He was talking as though this is something that happens every day. Amen. There are depths. There are things to still experience. You can't call yourself a Christian and you don't say, all you do is just tongues and interpretation. I'm not saying it's mere. It's the height. But there are still other things to experience. Don't box it up. Concerning the things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. Don't box him up. And I saw Jesus and the conversation just continued. Like you're talking to someone in your kitchen. I said, okay. Jesus, do you know this man? This guy persecutes saints. He just said, no, shut up. He's now saved. This is what you do for him. You lay hands on him and I say, okay.
If you say so.
How about that? Hallelujah. How about that from some experience?
How about that from some experience this morning? How about some sights? How about some sounds? Amen. 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 Can you just pray for yourself a bit? A bit. I'm sufficient. A bit. I'm open to new experiences this morning. Wild experiences. I'm open to mix it up. I'm not ignorant. I'm not ignorant. I'm open to a wild experiences of the Spirit of God. My eyes are seeing eyes. My ears are hearing ears. I'm not stereotyped. I'm not stereotyped. I don't box him up. Woo! I don't box him up. I don't box him up. I don't box him up this morning. Oh, his experiences, they are mine. Amen. Amen. So I expect. Come on. I expect the Holy Ghost to move in diverse ways through me this morning. I don't box him up. You believe that? I don't box him up. So sometimes we just get stereotyped. Oh, this is the way it's going to happen. We just get so familiar. And because we get too familiar, we don't experience new things. Things God wants to show us. And then we cannot. Imagine God has now, you know, used Jesus had using word witness for Ananias. He could have just used word witness. Yes, you know, just know intuitively. Oh, there's a man coming. His name is Paul. I know that. But there are more ways. That's one. But there are more ways. He actually saw the Lord. There are more ways. Some days ago, I shared a story about Renard Bonnke. He went to England, you know, to study at the, I think was it Wales, School of Prophecy, School of Theology or something. And they finished the lecture one day and it was about going home. And then God led him, listen very well, to, was it Thomas Jeffrey's house? Charles Jeffrey, yeah. A renowned Pentecostal in the early 90s. Someone that established most of the Pentecostal churches in the UK. So, he left school and he was meant to just go home, Renard Bonnke. And by the Holy Ghost, he started following a sign. Look at that. He started following a sign that was leading him opposite direction of his house. And started following by the Holy Ghost. How about that for an experience? And the sign stopped in front of someone's house and he saw the name Jeffrey. So he said, so he knocked. He said, sorry. So a woman came and said, sorry, is this the house of that famous Pentecostal? And I said, the woman said, yes. But he's not going to see you. And I said, he's not going to see you. The man spoke, feeble voice, in his 80s. He said, let him come in. And when Bonnke came in, and immediately Jeffrey put his hands on Bonnke's shoulder and the boat went down. Then he blessed him, prayed for him, and then told him to go, and he left. The next day he traveled back to Germany. That was where he was born. When Bonnke traveled back to Germany, and as he got to the airport, his father told him that prophet is dead. And see how many things Renard Bonnke did for the Lord. And I told someone, I said, I attribute that to that particular work of the Spirit. If he had an inward witness about it,
chances are high that you'll be slow to execute. You might say, I'll go next day. How about that? Before I leave for Germany, I'll just go. Right? Or when I come back after the holidays, I'll go and see him. At least now I know who to see. Come on, how many know what I'm saying? Abby? You know, he already has to write in his journal. I'll see Jeffrey, Professor Jeffrey, when I come back from Germany. But because he had an extraordinary, so God knew that if I'm going to leave this boy there tonight, he has to be by his sign. So he started following the sign all over the city. He only could see it. So you ask him where he's going to, and he'll tell you, don't worry, I know where I'm going to. I don't know where I'm going to, but I know where I'm going to. When I get there, I'll know. Hallelujah. So why are you boxing up the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. And, you know, we sang that song earlier. We said, my eyes are sinners. So, if the folks in the Old Testament could do it, if Samuel could add bishops without the Holy Ghost, if Samuel could add bishops, if Moses could have bishops, Joshua, even the people of Israel, how much more you today? But the only thing we have done is that sometimes we box them up. And we say, this is the way God must go. This is the way it must go. This is the way it must be. But that's not you today. No. You're going to experience things for the first time this morning. Are you speaking in tongues under your breath? Eh? You do that. Holy Ghost, you have expression this morning to all of us. So don't box him up. Don't box him up. Don't box him up. Some of us expect that the Holy Ghost move when we sing. Oh, when I sing, then Holy Ghost. Or when I pray, or when hands are laid. No, don't box it up to a particular model. Don't box it up to a particular way. It can happen anyhow. Amen. Anyhow. You must be a man of the Spirit. You must be a man of the Spirit. To know that the Holy Ghost can move any way. Once we call it an Holy Ghost meeting, then an Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. It can be multi-directional with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you. You don't know what is going to happen this morning. That's how to approach an Holy Ghost. You don't know what's going to happen. You are just yielding to the Spirit of God. You don't know what is going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. You just know that you are open. You are open to go for more. Don't start thinking, God is going to do it this way or that way. Don't box yourself. No, and don't box him up. This morning we are going to see diversities. The Paul tells you our own role. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. You know, in verse 1, he says, I will not have you ignorant. Then in verse 31, he now says, yours is to convert earnestly the best gifts. So while I don't box him up, my role is to just convert. To desire strongly that God can use me. To desire strongly that I can see and I can know things by the Spirit. That's my role. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Convert earnestly. Like I said, sometimes the Holy Ghost goes years before you. Some of you have been praying in the Spirit before you even knew about tongues and interpretation. And about praying in the Spirit. Come on, Abby. You have been praying in the Spirit before you knew about praying in the Spirit. You have been singing in the Spirit before you knew about singing in the Spirit. Before you actually had knowledge about it and teaching about it. The Holy Ghost can go years ahead of you. You must realize that this morning, it can go years ahead of you. It can go months ahead of you. Something you understand in the next 2-3 years. But because it needs to show you something now. So don't box him up. Don't say, this is how it's going to go. This, I know, this is how I do it. No. There's a new wine this morning. Amen. So there are many things that you have never experienced before. But this morning you're going to experience it. Just be hungry like a child. Be hungry. Be hungry. Be hungry. Be hungry. Be hungry for more. And know that there is more. You get that? You get that? I'm still saying it. I see a lot of caps right now. I see a lot of caps. And you have to remove that cap. You have to remove that cap. In the Holy Ghost meeting, you take away the thinking cap. Take it away. Take it away. This is not a meeting where you now start looking, oh, do I know how this one works? You take it away. Just give him expression. Let him talk. 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 Woo! Keep on the celebrity of Fatanes. You open up your mind. You open up your mind to new experiences. Open up your mind this morning. That you know that the Spirit of God can actually say things. Things like the way you don't plan to say. Oh, that's a person. And you know, this is one of the reasons why those who, let me say this one very well. Sometimes those who attend white garment churches, this is one of the reasons why they tend to experience more of these things. Someone asked me some years ago, he said, is this wrong? I said, no. I'm talking about the candle parts and the water parts. You know, sometimes you're just flowing some things of the Spirit and you wonder, sometimes, is this real? I said, realer than you think. Is there anyone like that? Because he's not thinking about it. He's not trying to say, hey, this is how God talks, this is how God don't talk. He's just going to it. Trusting that God is talking. Amen. Amen. They're not boxing it up in one knowledge. They're not boxing up in one theory. They are just experiencing and enjoying the Spirit of God. And that's you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So you take away that cap. Don't box it. Take it away. And just surrender yourself. Start out with tongues. And then you will see the Holy Ghost move more. You just wonder, I've not done this before, I've not said this before, I've not flown in the things of the Spirit like this before. But that's this morning, there are new grounds. Amen. Amen. You know, so I told you, I said, the folks in the Old Testament saw things. They saw things. They did things supernaturally. So it's not about what you want to do. It's about what is the Holy Ghost doing. It's not about what you want to say. It's about what is the Holy Ghost saying. It's not about what do you want to, you know, show? What do you want to hear? No. It's about what is the Holy Ghost doing this morning. Is he focusing on visions for you? Don't box it up and say, Pastor, the only thing I know is tongues and interpretation. No. Even tongues and interpretation, you started one day, right? You didn't know about it before. It's time to open up for new experiences. Amen. It's time to open up for new experiences. It's time to open up for new experiences. And what new experiences do is that they put vitality to our Christian walk. They put vitality to it. They make us stronger. When we open up our minds for the Holy Ghost and for His work in our midst, they make us stronger. And this morning, we have new experiences. We are not ignorant. We don't box him up. All the Nikes of the Spirit are mine. My heart is open. My mind is open. My eyes is open. I can see and I can know by the Spirit. The folks in Acts 2, they were new converts. Jesus just taught them. They just got born again. Bible said, as they were praying, there appeared to everyone a cloven tongue as of fire. Amen. They saw things. They saw things. They didn't have to rehearse for it. They didn't have to practice to see. That is the normal Christian life. Don't let modernism start coloring our visions. Visions is not for false prophets. It's for believers. Amen. Amen. It's not for pastors. It's for every man in Christ. I'm open to visions. I see how you are saying it. I'm open to visions. I'm open to visions. I'm open to experiences. So this morning you mix it up. Is that it? Huh? We are going on an adventure with God. We will never be the same again. Go ahead and speak it now. Come on. Hey, so the car. On that seat. Holy fire, Lord. Holy fire, Lord. New experiences. You know what? So, first praying your understanding. Pray in English. I take away every veil. And I take away every box. I am open to new experiences. You know, say it in English, then turn to tongues later. Oh yeah? This morning I am open to what the Spirit of God wants to do. I don't box him up. I don't say this is how it's going to go. No. The diversities of gifts are mine. In their multi-directional operations. They are mine! Yeah, the good person.